This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. It's 10 days now until Election Day. Former President Trump visited Joe Rogan for an interview on his popular podcast before a rally in Michigan Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris rallying in Austin, Texas. She was joined by music superstar Beyonce, and Harris calling Texas ground zero in the fight over reproductive rights and access to abortion.
You know it ain't right that you may have fewer rights than your mother or your grandmother. You know it is not theoretical. You know it is not political. It is your lived experience, and I see you, and I see your power.
E. coli cases linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders rising to 75 across 13 states. The CDC saying Friday at least 22 people have been hospitalized. Israel attacking military targets in Iran overnight. This was in response for Iran's barrage of missiles at Israel after the killing of Hezbollah's leader. A U.S. official says much of the Israeli operation was conducted by manned aircraft. This is ABC News. The Wall Street Journal reporting that Elon Musk, the world's richest man, and Donald Trump's surrogate have been having secret conversations with Russian President Vladimir Putin, raising national security concerns. Here's ABC News Chief Global Affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz.
The discussion said to focus on personal topics, business and geopolitical tensions. At one point, according to the journal, Putin even asking Musk, who says he holds top secret clearance, to hold off activating one of his Starlink satellites over Taiwan as a favor to China's president, Xi Jinping. It's not known if Musk obliged.
Musk has not responded to the allegations. The Kremlin has issued a categorical denial. The president, President Biden, making a formal and emotional apology to Native Americans at a reservation in Arizona. He called the system of government-run boarding schools that forced generations of Native children from their families and tribes, quote, one of the most horrific chapters in American history. Dave Packery.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities. For small businesses moving in, there's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency has come under fire for not placing enough scrutiny on concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and tensions have been building in one Wisconsin county for years. Mike Moen reports.
Eastern Wisconsin farmer Nancy Utesh leads the advocacy group Kewaunee Cares, one of 13 organizations that sued the EPA over its lack of enforcement of factory farms. The agency itself has admitted that fewer than 30% of CAFOs have Clean Water Act permits. Still, the Ninth Circuit Court this month struck down the petition.
What we need is the really hardcore, meaningful solution building here.
Utesh says because the EPA has been slow to act, CAFOs have found ways to rapidly expand. According to Food and Water Watch, Kewaunee County has 36 factory farms, which produced over 2 billion pounds of waste in 2022, creating water contamination concerns. In their denial, the judges said even though the EPA acknowledges these issues, it's promised to further study manure pollution guidelines and commission a stakeholder subcommittee was not an unreasonable response. Utesh says as the legal wrangling plays out, farming communities continue to grapple with how to respond to the growing presence of industrial agriculture. That includes convincing enough community members to raise their voices.
The social dynamic of speaking out, it may affect your church group, school, any other activities you do, your job.
Advocates point to a key loophole in the permitting process. Under the current EPA rule, as long as factory farms are applying waste in accordance with a nutrient management plan, any discharges related to stormwater runoff are exempt from regulation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 38. Sunny and a nice fall day for Sunday. A little on the breezy side, highs around 63. Partly sunny on Monday, still breezy with highs around 70 degrees.
Currently 42 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I am your host, Joel Clayfish. Alongside me is the great, the amazing, the wonderful, top-notch, sidekick, side roller, shotgun shooter, shotgun rider, Danielle Fairman.
I feel like that deserves a high five right now. Us.
Let's do it.
High five.
I'm in.
That was solid.
High five it. The most exciting time to be a Wisconsinite is absolutely right now. We are in the heart of all of the hunting things. The rut is about to start. Geese and ducks are moving through the state at record pace, which brings me right off the bat weekly Wisco. I got back. We're going to get into this on the show. I'm so excited about it because I just got back from Wyoming and had an incredible hunt out there for pronghorn antelope. The only place in the world you can find pronghorn antelope is the United States. They're a species unto their own. Did you know that, Daniel?
I did not know that.
They do not share a species with anything.
Anything.
They're their own species.
How about that?
The closest thing that they are to anything in the world is the genus. You know, it goes like family, order, genus, species. They share a genus with another animal, but they cannot interbreed with it. And that animal is the giraffe.
The giraffe?
So
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
In fact, they call them out there, they call them speed goats, and they are not a goat. They're not a type of goat, but they call them speed goats because they're so fast. But they call them prairie giraffes.
Prairie giraffes. I will forever call it a prairie giraffe.
That's a really good name for that. Isn't that a cool thing? I mean, we're going to go through the show. I'm going to introduce our guests first because we're going to get their take on some of the goofy names for animals, but we're going to talk about that today. I'm super jacked. I'm really excited because Matt Johnson here and Jeremy Walker is here, and they are from the Gold Star Shoot, Wisconsin's Gold Star Shoot. This is an event that highlights the greatest of Americans. This highlights the Gold Star families and the Gold Star veterans of the United States. Matt, I'm so excited you came here. Thanks for coming all the way down to the studio. I appreciate it so much. How on earth did you get into wanting to do something so special and so awesome for veterans?
It really started because I actually served myself. I did 12 years in the United States
Marine Corps. Well, thank you for that. Thank you very much. We owe you our freedom, and we appreciate that very much.
Oh, thank you. I got into competitive shooting in pistols for a long time now. And a good buddy of mine actually ran the first one, and he ended up PCSing because he got out of the Navy. And he's like, do you want to take this up? So I did. And I only know how to shoot a gun. That's where Jeremy comes into play right here.
Oh, yes.
Because he knows everything about the background, about the tablets and this and that. I'm like, I just like pulling the trigger at stuff.
I mean, that's exactly what I love too. I do not know anything about guns. Just... They shoot, they kill things, they give me food, And it's just happiness right there. That's all I know about guns.
They are happiness. They're a tool also. I mean, for me, we've entered a point in society right now where it is actually cheaper to hunt something and put that meat on the table than it is in many cases to buy that meat from the store.
Oh, absolutely. Everything's so inflated right now.
And I think this is the first time in my life that Becky, my wife, looks at me and says, okay, you're going to hunt? Yeah. Can you try to shoot a tenderloin or can you shoot a chuck roast for me? Because
I have a side question. I don't think I ever asked this before. Will Rebecca go out there and hunt everything with you?
She will go with me from time to time to watch sunsets, and she has hunted. She has hunted turkeys with me. She's hunted geese with me. Nice. She likes it okay, but she knows that it drives me and it's my passion. So
yes, it is.
And you know, my wife's way better than me at everything. She's better looking. She's more fit. She's smarter. Does her thing, she never ever impedes on my hunting or never says, no, you really shouldn't do it. You should get to the list, the honeydew list instead. She's very good about that. And I do appreciate it. But Matt, what I've noticed, and that's one of the great things about Raised in Wisco and why we love having you along as our audience, because we are a show that teaches everybody from those who don't know anything about hunting, shooting, fishing, outdoors of Wisconsin, all the way to those who are experts. And we hope that there is something for everybody when we talk about it. But I want to talk specifically about the use of firearms. I've noticed in the years that I've hunted that there are two categories of people. There are hunters, and firearms to them are a tool. And then there are shooters. And these are the guys who are measuring drams of gunpowder, and they know about specific bullet weights and all that stuff. And I have noticed there's not much crossover. Either you're usually a shooter guy or you're a hunter person. And you are kind of that hybrid, which is rare. You know, you've set up the Gold Star Shoot, and we're going to get to the details of that. And you got to hear about this, folks, because I'd love you to be able to participate in next year's Gold Star Shoot. But you are kind of the hybrid between shooting and hunting.
Correct. I actually reload my own ammo for pistol, but then when I go deer hunting down here, I use a shotgun that was bought at Kmart in 1997.
What?
No optics, iron sights. You know, my dad got it, and you know, since then had handed over to me, but I will literally use a 12 gauge shotgun down here in Waukesha County.
Yeah, that's cool. And people don't really, I mean, Kmart sold shotguns. Yep. And Walmart still does sell shotguns. Yep. And in Wisconsin, you know, I never take it for granted or assume that people are comfortable with firearms, because we're talking about something that is incredibly serious, and mm-hmm. safety has to be taken extremely seriously. And the way to make sure that they are safe is education. And that is for sure a large part of it, understanding the firearm before you're using it. But how did you go from being in the military as a Marine, as a U.S. Marine, and into shooting? Now, I can see how shooting can be connected to the armed services because you're handling firearms. And then how did that cross over to hunting for you?
I mean, I've always hunted my whole life. I mean, I went out with my dad when I was 10 years old. I used to go sit out with him, and I haven't stopped hunting to this day. And I was shooting since, I remember shooting my first gun at 5 years old. And that was just common back in the day. Like, kids now these days, I don't trust half those kids to shoot, honestly, with everything going on. But you know, I've been shooting since I was 5, got into it after the military, and then just after the military, I was infantry. That's what we did. And we just kept going. I work in the firearms industry now, and I shoot on the side, and that's pure my life, hunting and shooting right now.
I don't think people realize how much the firearms industry is based here in Wisconsin. Henry Rifles, BCM, Midwest Industries. I mean, we have got a massive history. But there are a lot of people employed in Wisconsin in the firearms industry.
Very much. It's not only that. You also have ADM. You have Griffin. You have barrels like Vortac, and there's a bunch of barrel companies out here.
Bartline Barrel, Vortex,
Krieger, BSF.
Yeah, you've got Matthews Bows. I mean, yep. If you want to get into the archery stuff, I mean, this really is the place to do the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And if you buy items to use in the outdoors for hunting and fishing, St. Croix rods, you also have those people locally to help you if you have a problem with it. And people underestimate the importance of that. Well, we do a thing here on the show called the Weekly Wisco, which is what we talk talk about something exciting that happened to us just in this past week. And so I'm going to have you think about that for a minute. Danielle, do you have a weekly WISCO for us?
My weekly WISCO was actually, unfortunately, working on Saturday. We worked almost 12 hours on Saturday, but I got to show Luke. Luke is my boyfriend Josh's youngest kid.
Okay, slow down. Oh, okay, no, we're taking a pause. One of the fun things about this show is going into Danielle's personal life. I think, producer Jess, is there a chance we could come up with like a little side intro?
Oh,
like,
no.
Like,
and now it's time for Danielle's personal life.
For a moment in the life of Danielle.
These are the sands of time.
These are the moments that make up the life. By day, she moves heavy equipment.
By night,
she moves hearts. Ooh, I got him.
So good, Jess. By day, she's a heavy equipment operator. By nights, the hearts are heavy in Danielle's world of love. So this is getting serious with her boyfriend, Josh, obviously. She brought Josh's son, Luke, into the studio with us today.
I did.
Luke doesn't have a mic. Throw the mic over to Luke. Let's see.
I brought Luke in today because Luke shoots a trap for Kettle Moraine. And we have some gun nerds here, so I thought it would all work out perfectly.
I think it works out perfectly. And you know what? That whole 7 or 6 points of separation from Kevin Bacon deal, I think it's honestly more like 3, because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this studio is only 2 away from 5 presidents, because I met 5 presidents. You guys all know me. That means you're 2 away from 5 presidents and 3 away from the Pope, because my grandma's outstretched arms touched the Pope in like 1993, okay? I have a picture of it too. Luke, welcome. What do you think so far?
This is really exciting. It's really cool to be here.
I'm going to ask you a little more serious question.
Oh, serious.
How is it having Danielle dating your dad?
Luke, you don't have to answer that.
I have to buy your groceries.
It's really radical. Bandit is super cool.
Oh, right answers. Okay.
Producer Jess was trying to avoid a snafu right there, and it just turned out perfectly. Danielle didn't even look nervous. I'll be honest.
I did not. I'm actually, I feel pretty good about it.
Nice. Yeah, okay. All right. Now,
get off the mic, Luke. You're done.
Jeremy and Matt are sitting there going, how did this train end up in Nova Scotia?
Oh, my Lanta.
Okay.
Can we get back on track now?
Let's get on track.
Oh, wait, so I help teach Luke how to breast out a duck because Josh does it wrong. Josh just gets the wings off and keeps it all together, and you just fillet the breast off. So that's an ongoing thing.
Oh, that is awesome.
I'm moving on because I got irritated.
My weekly WISCO was awesome. I literally had 10 minutes before I had to race to the studio, went in the backyard and harvested a wood duck and a beautiful green wing teal that are going to be amazing dishes, which I cannot wait to tell you about our recipe of the week. Oh, it's going to blow your mind. Ooh. And we're going to get back with Matt and Jeremy talking about the Gold Star Shoot veterans in the state of Wisconsin. And how hunting, fishing, and the great outdoors can be therapeutic for those coming back and trying to assimilate back into our culture after they have fought to make sure we maintain our freedom. And that's one of the cool things about Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your speed metal for the outdoors of Wisconsin. I'm Joel Clayfish sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. Hey guys, it's coming up quick. Make sure to be a voter in 2024. Check your voter registration at myvote.wi.gov. Make a plan, get out, and vote November 5th. And if you can't do that, make sure you get an absentee ballot because I know early voting is now open. You know, we talk about it on this show. We don't tell you who to vote for. We say if you want to have and protect what you love to do, vote for the candidate that you believe is going to represent mm-hmm. that. That's why the fall election is so important. Be a voter in 2024. And speaking of voting, it goes right into our guests today. Matt Johnson and Jeremy Walker, they have the Gold Star Shoot. Matt is a veteran of the Marine Corps. And, you know, the decisions made by elected officials very much affect the men and women in uniform in this country and serving in foreign countries as well. So make sure that that is a priority to you. Want to say on the air, thank you for your service. But your service, Matt, did not end when you came back. You said, I need to do something for the veterans. How did you come up with the Gold Star Shoot, and what is it?
So, yeah, it was one of my buddies that had actually started this, a Navy vet, and he ended up moving. So he asked me if I wanted to take it over because, like you said, my mission wasn't over. You know, we lost a lot of guys in my first tour, a couple guys in my second tour, and you know, a lot of guys, too, in homeside. Stateside because of the demons and everything else. So we decided to create this, take this match. It's a six stage pistol shoot. We run it in iron sights, optics, and a PCC, which is a pistol caliber carbine. Six stages. It's hosted at Schultz Resort Rod and Gun Club in Muskego.
Muskego, Wisconsin.
Muskego,
all right.
Wisconsin. And that's, I got next to me right here, the guy that makes everything happen for me because I can make cool stages look really cool on paper. But he's the guy behind everything, making sure that I'm actually doing it right.
So it says that it's an outlaw pistol match.
Yep.
I need more information about that because I'm only envisioning.
That's exactly what.
Okay, right,
just
the
for
middle.
The record, Danielle's making finger guns, right? Like she's like
right from
pew,
my hips. Pew, pew.
It's actually quite a bit like that.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm gonna have Matt explain what an outlaw pistol match is, and you know what. Explain, Ken, were you trying to do like the tumbleweed thing?
I can't whistle.
Womp, womp, womp. Is that
exactly.
What you're doing?
Exactly.
Okay. So Matt, number one, how did you come up with it? Can people participate who are not shooters?
Absolutely.
Can they come? How do you get to be a part of it? How do you go to it? And how do you make sure, you know, how do you support the veterans, let's say, if you're not a shooter, and how do you do it if you are?
Right. So what is Outlaw Pistol? It's, again, six stages, and all the stages are different. There's an all-steel stage that we set up that it's color-coordinated, so there might be different color boxes, and you can only shoot a certain color steel from a certain box. Most of the other stages are set up. There's targets, and it's best two hits per paper. Don't shoot the white paper, and don't shoot the black papers. And that's literally all it is, and it's movement.
Does someone count down and then you draw? Out of a holster on your side?
It'll tell you. It'll depend on the stage. There might be a stage where your pistol starts on a barrel unloaded and you start on the opposite side. So you have to run and pick up your magazines off your barrels as you go. And there's certain stages that, yeah, you start with your pistol fully loaded in your holster and everything else. We did a stage this year that we actually shot an AR-15, a shotgun, and your personal pistol or whatever you have. And that was, you know, prop guns, and people love that.
So is this like a BYOG, bring your own gun?
Bring your own gun, bring your own ammo.
Someone else's?
I mean, if you don't have one,
that's it.
If you don't have one, we know enough people that have enough setups and everything else that we can get you going. And again, we have people that are 12 years old shooting this, and we have people that are 80 years old shooting this.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This is for everyone. We've had people that have, I think this year we had about 12 people out of 123 that never shot a match before in their life, but they just wanted to come out and support, and that's what we're here for. I mean, mm-hmm. we want everyone. We want everyone from all climes and all places to come out and enjoy this match. We usually post it up, and it's on an app called Practice Score. We also are on Instagram at WI Gold Star Shoot, that we can do that. But everything's on Practice Score. That's how you sign up for your squatting and payments up front. And last year, everyone had a goodie bag.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody loves swag.
I love swag.
Yes.
So here's a question. This is going to come up in August, and one of the reasons we had you on early like this, if I'm someone who's maybe interested in learning this or starting out but has no idea how to do it, how do I do that? This show is about experts, but it's also about those who are curious or want to see if it's something they might like. How do I go about doing that if I say, I would like to try this or learn about it? How do I do that? Let's bring Jeremy. You're pointing at Jeremy. Jeremy, tell me how somebody can start if they don't understand how to do this or they'd like to try it.
So at Schultz Gun Club, we host what's called Pistol League on Tuesday nights. That's the second week of May through the second week of August. Anybody and everybody can come out if you want to learn how to action shoot. We have equipment, we have different pistols, we shoot anything from 22 through 45.
And you were saying, Jeremy, before the show that your wife also has a woman's only group participation thing. So is it only on Wednesdays, did you say it was?
No, so she's actually looking at hosting a women's squad on Tuesday nights, but she actually hosts two events, one in spring, in May as well, and then we just did one here in October.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's a women's only thing. We can host up to 60 women.
60? 60. That's a lot.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's wonderful. But, we say it all the time on this show. Women are the fastest growing group of new hunters. And so that's Johnny Watermelon paying the show a little visit from the back. How's it going, brother?
Hello.
Great to see you. So here's, we talk about women being the fastest growing group of new hunters all the time. Okay. They're fast growing in a group of in the shooting industry as well. So something, my question to both of you is, do you have these events and you have people who show up, men or women, who are kind of maybe anti-firearm at first, or at least agnostic about firearms? And by the end of it, they have a completely different understanding of what it is, and they end up becoming interested. Because what I've found about hunting is those who are often anti or agnostic about it at first, when they are exposed to it under the right circumstances, and that's up to us as hunters and shooters, they fully change.
Every time. I get people that'll show up and they're like, no, I can't do it. You know, we'll work through it. Baby steps. You work them up in calibers.
That's awesome.
They go through everything. The women shoots, we do archery, we do trap.
That sounds fantastic. So make sure, if you're curious about this, contact somebody. Contact us at Raised in Wisco. We'll put you in touch with the right people. We've got so much more exciting things coming up, including this Mexican dish that I made out of mule deer. It's fantastic. And we're going to talk to Matt about how the benefits of shooting and hunting can affect veterans coming back. Raised in Wisco's where it's at.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. It's 10 days now until Election Day. Former President Trump visited Joe Rogan for an interview on his popular podcast before a rally in Michigan Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris rallying in Austin, Texas. She was joined by music superstar Beyonce, and Harris calling Texas ground zero in the fight over reproductive rights and access to abortion.
You know it ain't right that you may have fewer rights than your mother or your grandmother. You know it is not theoretical. You know it is not political. It is your lived experience, and I see you, and I see your power.
E. coli cases linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders rising to 75 across 13 states. The CDC saying Friday at least 22 people have been hospitalized. Israel attacking military targets in Iran overnight. This was in response for Iran's barrage of missiles at Israel after the killing of Hezbollah's leader. A U.S. official says much of the Israeli operation was conducted by manned aircraft. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Badgers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers host the number 3 ranked Penn State Nittany Lions at Camp Randall Stadium. The Badgers hope their improved play on their defensive line can slow down Penn State's offense. NFL, the Packers head to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. Kickoff set for noon tomorrow. Green Bay with a record of 5-2. Jacksonville just 2-5. NBA, the Bucks with a disappointing 133-122 loss to the Bulls in their season opener in Milwaukee. Chicago able to score on 21 3-point shots. Damian Lillard.
You know, we closed short too many times in that first half. They saw, you know, 1, 2, 3 go in, and then, you know, they just started feeling good about it. And then at that point, you know, we started scrambling. You know, the shots just kept going in.
Giannis led Milwaukee with 38 points, but it wasn't enough to keep up in the second half.
They were making shots. They were driving. They were going right. They took advantage of that, so that's why they were able to have 39 points in the third quarter.
That's the Bucks, Giannis and Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 38. Sunny and a nice fall day for Sunday. A little on the breezy side, highs around 63. Partly sunny on Monday, still breezy with highs around 70 degrees.
Right now, it's 44.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the YWEGA Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Austin, Wisco's your best place to shout at the devil. Hey, a little Motley Crue there. I don't know.
Then you pointed to my right shoulder. That's where the devil is.
The devil's on your right shoulder and the sure angel's is. On your left shoulder. Sure is. Folks, we love it when you join us on Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. Right now, I guess my life is so crazy right now.
I feel like your life has been crazy since the beginning of September.
Yeah, I think it has. But once hunting season hits, there's so much to do here in Wisconsin. But that's also the hunting season in other states and other countries. Fall is fall, unless you go south of the equator. And then those hunting seasons are opposite. So the middle of summer here is the coldest time south of the equator. So figure out, that's trippy, isn't it?
It's very trippy.
I want to know how...
Super trippy.
I want to know how flat earthers can figure that out. I mean,
very good point.
Matt Johnson and Jeremy Walker are here from Gold Star Shoot, and we are talking about everything from hunting to food to former military and the awesome shoot that they have set up here. They're both, Matt's a hunter as well. How did you get into hunting, Matt?
I think it was just in my family's blood. My dad did it all his life and just brought me into it, and I love hunting. I'll never stop.
That's kind of how the traditions pass on, though, from parents. But unfortunately, mine started from an ex-boyfriend. So
I never had a parent who hunted.
Oh, you did
I
not.
Never
you started when
family.
You were the I young age of 38.
When I was 38 years old. Now, look, I know by all accounts, I look like I'm hardly 38 years old at this point. But
yep.
No, I'm 53. I've said it. I'm not ashamed of it. Producer Jess, I'm not ashamed to be 53 and have only hunted since I was 38.
That's good.
And I have to tell you, what's so crazy and exciting is that I'm addicted to pressing the yes button now. I can't stop. I travel the world to hunt. I make food out of everything. But one of the cool things about being 38 when you start hunting is that you have this perspective on life by that point, right? Mm-hmm. So every hunt I go on is just as much about the people that you're hunting with or around, the food in the area, the culture, and that's why Wisconsin's so phenomenal. Unbelievable cuisine we have throughout the state. So, and the food that we make from it. Now, I just got back literally yesterday from Wyoming hunting pronghorn antelope. And it was one of the most incredible experiences. Every year, I'm going to do it. This is my second year in a row. I go visit Toby Johnson. I wonder if you're related, Matt, to Toby Johnson. There's a strong chance.
Very strong.
There aren't very many Johnsons in the world. And Toby Johnson's 80 years old, and he used to outfit pronghorn antelope hunts. Well, I went out for a mule deer hunt last year, had a pronghorn tag for a certain area, went to a local bar in Wyoming, asked if anybody knew someone from Zone 23. Somebody said, you should call Toby Johnson. I called bait shops to find Toby Johnson's number. Someone had it. I hooked up with him, ended up hunting with him last year. And this guy has stories like you would not believe. He lives in the Bighorn Mountains. So we fly into Wyoming. We hunt the Bighorn Mountains. That is right next to the Crow Native American Reservation. And I'm fascinated by the history, American history and culture. So I went and spent a part of my last day on the Crow Indian Reservation, which was absolutely incredible and a completely different American culture to absorb and be part of. I had fry bread tacos. It was such a fantastic time.
Sounds delicious.
It goes right back to my point that when you do something in the outdoors, whether that's kayaking or mountain climbing or camping or hunting or fishing, do not be afraid to press the yes button. Don't be afraid to try something and put yourself a little outside of your comfort zone. And I have to tell you, I did that because I went to a karaoke bar in Sheridan, Wyoming.
No.
You know, Sheridan, Wyoming's the birthplace of the cowboy. Mm-hmm. So I went into this karaoke bar and everyone had cowboy hats on. Fortunately, I did too. I'm a cowboy when
Which
I out
one
there.
Of your eight hats did you bring?
I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. It was the Jason Aldean edition of the Resistol cowboy hat in peak. Con. So
Pecan.
You didn't think I would know. You didn't think I'd be able to rattle that off, did you?
No, I fully expected you to be ready with that.
I am a bit of a metro redneck. I will admit that. I like my camouflage to match. That's for sure.
You like your style.
I do. Nothing wrong
with that.
I'm a little embarrassed by it, but then on the other side of it, I'm perfectly okay with it. So I'm in this place and there are like literally people. There were some folks, let's just say there were dentally hygienically challenged. Is that a way to say someone's missing teeth? Is that a nicer way to say missing teeth? There were a few folks who may have been waiting on some new teeth to arrive. I mean, didn't FedEx. Have them in yet. And I sang Coming to America. Now, you know, I'm stone sober, so I haven't drank in 14 years. So I'm up there and it takes a lot to karaoke when you're stone sober. And so I get up there and I sing, and pretty soon, like the cowboy hats in the crowd are like clapping and singing along to Diamond in the karaoke bar in Sheridan, Wyoming.
That has to be
Wyoming.
Kind of fun though, having everyone sing along.
It was crazy. I think I had like 6 non-alcoholic beers in a row. I was on cloud nine.
If I go to a karaoke bar, I'm turning around and walking right back out.
Why?
I hate karaoke.
Why?
Because 90% of the time, it's people who cannot sing, and they mix up the words.
That's why it's not called a concert.
Yeah, that's 90%
of the joy. That's exactly why I turn around and walk right back out.
Oh, see, I'm with producer Jess. I think that's why it's fun, because people get up and they just don't care. Because there is some endorphin rush or something about singing that absolutely gets to the soul of a person, and they're, when people are singing, they love it. And what I love is when you're trying, you get, come on, no, I don't want to, I don't want to.
I feel like Matt is a definitely karaoke singer.
Matt, are you Matt a karaoke Johnson? Singer?
You don't want to hear that. I'll sing in my car, but it doesn't go past that.
Same. That's exactly where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. So put yourself outside of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. It's a tough segue into what I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about, some of the difficulty that there is in returning from a wartime situation. And one of the reasons that Matt and Jeremy started the Gold Star Shoot and care about veterans and veterans' mental health. You know, several years ago, I was the lead author of a bill called the Green Alert Bill, which allowed the Amber Alert system to put missing at-risk veterans on the Amber Alert system. And someone, you know, the average person might think missing at-risk veterans, why is that a separate category? But the reality is that the mental health issues, suicide rates, PTSD, and the things that those who fight for the United States, soldiers, Marines, airmen, when they come back, they have experienced something that those of us living here cannot understand. So I want to ask you, as a Marine who returned from a wartime situation, how tough is it? And how tough is it that those of us who are assimilated in this society don't understand what you're going through when you come back?
It's really tough. I was in Iraq in 06, back in 08, and then I deployed again in 2010. The whole time you're on high alert. I mean, you have your brothers that's got your back. But you don't know when your time's going to come. I mean, you don't know if you're going to wake up the next day. And when you first hit stateside and those wheels hit the ground, it is the craziest feeling ever. It's the best feeling, but then you're alone. And that's where a lot of the outdoors stuff and a lot of people find the outdoors. It's a hard feeling, and there's nothing you can compare to it. You just want to go back. I mean, I got out in 06.
You literally want to go back into the wartime situation.
100%. I got out after my first deployment in 06, and I raised my hand and volunteered to go back in 08.
Wow.
It's that hard to come back.
It is.
Is the toughest part the fact that people, those folks here don't understand?
It's an adrenaline rush the whole time over there. And it's just being with your brothers and sisters and everything over there. Like you build up such a big camaraderie and everything else with everyone around you. And it's every day is something different.
What can we stateside, what can we do better when those folks who are in wartime scenarios? I mean, I can't imagine it. We can watch the movies, and the movies are going to give us maybe a smidgen of understanding, but not much. What can we do better to understand that when someone who thinks or wonders whether their life is going to end second to second comes back here in a society where we take so many things for granted and we love, you know, we say first world problems, and I believe sometimes are not equipped to accept or welcome folks back because we don't understand it. How can we understand that better?
It's going to be hard. You know, veterans, we're all stubborn. We're super stubborn. And I haven't met one that isn't stubborn. It's trying to relate, and it's almost hard to relate because, you know, I have a hard time talking to a lot of people because it's like, you weren't there. You don't know what I'm talking about. But that's why in the shooting sports and everything else and being outdoors and fishing and getting behind a rod and a reel and getting away from the booze, honestly, that's the biggest devil ever when you're having thoughts like that and loneliness and everything coming back from a wartime situation. It's finding that niche, and not everyone's niche is the same, what you want to come back and what you want to do. Some people are shooting. Some people are underwater basket weaving.
What?
Seriously.
You know, they say that idle time is the devil's workshop. And I think there's definitely something. I mean, I think we don't take mental health seriously enough in this country, to be honest, whether that's someone who's got anxiety or depression, who's never been to war, but someone who's got it maybe amplified in their life because of the war situation they've been or the deployment they've been in. Do you have friends who've really struggled? Do you have people who were, you know, in your units who really struggled when they came back?
Yeah, including myself. I lived on the streets for 2 months. I lived in the back of my Jeep Grand Cherokee for 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know a lot of others that struggle too. And, you know, unfortunately, we've lost some. And for the rest of them, you know, we're there for them at any time. I just ran into one guy I served with at Fleet Farm this last weekend. And we talked for about half hour, 45 minutes. I'm like, dude, you good? He's like, yeah, man, let's get together sometimes. I'm like, dude, you're only 22 minutes down the road. I didn't know this. And he went through a lot of stuff too. And it's like, hey, dude, let's get together. And it's just those little things where it's, hey, dude, let's get together.
And when your friend said, hey, let's do this Wisconsin Gold Star shoot together. And then he left. How long ago after you came back that you started doing that?
I mean, I technically got out of the Marine Corps in 2016. And this didn't start till, what was it, 2021? Yeah, 2021. So I've been searching for something for a long time. And I finally found it with this.
Yeah. When you were in the van or in the car, living out of the car, and you were, you know, in those dark places, what was it that helped you turn around?
Outdoors.
The outdoors.
I just woke up one day and for a couple of years, I didn't hunt. And all of a sudden I woke up one day and back, I'm like, yeah. And I started getting back outdoors and my family's got a cabin up north right outside of Antigo. Getting out back there fishing, getting back out deer hunting, picked up into turkey hunting, into dove hunting, just
spiral from there.
You know that.
That makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up because I understand when I decided to quit drinking, the outdoors became my drug and became my passion. And there is nothing bad about being addicted to Wisconsin's outdoors, being addicted to the outdoors. It is only good. It is physically good exercise. It is mentally fascinating listening to the woods wake up in the morning. But, you know, for everybody listening to Raised in Wisco, you know, we tackle some tough subjects from time to time. What the one thing I want to leave you with is that if you do have somebody, whether they're military veteran or just your buddy or someone who's an acquaintance, you don't always know the type of day that they're having, and never, ever, ever, ever take for granted that when they say things are not going okay, that the next time you see them, they might not still be going okay. Take action at that very point and ask to help them at that one time, because that may be where they're at their bottom. And it's up to us, you know, in the outdoors, in every industry here, to make sure that if somebody is willing and somebody shows that they need help or even asks for help, that we do step in and give them help. We're going to come back and have an awesome cooking discussion because, you know, like I say, Riz in Wisco is always a food show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your place to come home, sweet home.
Oh, man.
You wondered how I was going to segue. Producer Jess, was that all right? That wasn't horrible,
was it? That was
beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's all. I've got like segue connections tonight instead of dad jokes. Is that okay?
Yeah, we have not had one dad joke this whole entire segment.
Well, don't be careful what you wish for, Danielle.
There's still time.
Home sweet home cooking is what we're going to talk about. We've had an unbelievable discussion with Matt Johnson and Jeremy Walker tonight from the Gold Star shoot. Please look it up. Please become a part of it. It really is important that we take care of our veterans when they return. I think a lot of people think they're out of the wartime scenario and it's all good when they get back. And that is just not the case. And we want to make sure, we want to make it our mission also to save, to help them to be able to save some who are struggling. And one of the things that comforts me is cooking what I harvest, whether that's harvesting, foraging, hunting animals. I love the food as much as I love the hunt. I love the culture of the people I hunt with. I love the friends I make. I love the camaraderie. I love the nature, but I really love the food. And you were telling me, Matt, that you just had wild game within the last week.
Yeah, venison. That's a common crutch in our household.
Yeah. And one of the things we were talking about with the price of groceries and the cost of meat, you can literally hunt your game, I think, for less expensive than you can buy it in the grocery store now. And that is incredibly exciting. I shared with you that I was in Wyoming. So I want to talk about what I made. Now, when you're thinking out of the box, it's tough to be creative with wild game sometimes because you've got just meat, right? So have you ever had the dish chicharrones? Have you ever had the Mexican dish chicharrones?
I've heard the name, but no, I have never had that.
Okay, in Wisconsin, we call them pork rinds. They are a Wisconsin staple.
You love pork rinds.
I love pork rinds. Well, who doesn't love pork rinds? Do you love them?
I do not recall. I have no idea when the last time I had a pork rind.
Well, pork rinds are crunchy fried pork skin, but I like making dishes that are kind of easy for folks to do. And there's a Mexican dish where pork rinds are simmered and cooked until they're soft in a green chili sauce and topped with your favorite toppings, Mexican sour cream, your favorite salsa, some jalapenos.
Did you say
if
Mexican
you want.
Sour cream?
Yeah, Mexican sour cream.
What's the difference between regular sour cream and Mexican?
Oh,
my Lanza, all these eyeballs I'm getting at
Danielle.
Me right now.
No, I'm with you, Danielle.
What is happening?
Explain.
Porque las personas quien viven con crema es más mejor. Sour cream is, American sour cream is Mexican's sour cream's gelatinous, jello-y buddy. Okay. Oh. American sour cream's got that kind of jello-y consistency to it. It's real firm and kind of wiggles when you shake it. Mexican sour cream is very creamy.
Ooh.
It's a little more liquidy, so it's not as thick, but it's oh my gosh, it's heaven. It is heaven on earth, and it's fantastic. They call it table cream or crema. It's phenomenal. All so right, I took this mule deer back straps and I chopped it into little quarter inch cubes. I fried onions in butter, first of all. And then I dusted them with a provider, drop tine. Use your favorite seasoning, dust your cubes of meat and throw them in with the sautéing onions and butter. You can't go wrong with that flavor, first of all.
Absolutely not.
That heat will force the flavor into the meat. Only flash fry them. You don't want to overcook them. Then I added just a can of green salsa verde enchilada sauce. And then I added a bag of pork rinds. Instead of going through all the making the pork skin and putting it in, I just added a bag of pork rinds, crunchy pork rinds, and let it simmer. Covered it, let it simmer until they were soft, like the chicharrone dish at a Mexican restaurant. You can go on the provider and see this recipe, watch this recipe, learn this if you'd like to, but it's super easy. And then I topped it with Mexican sour cream and homemade salsa fresca. And it was out of this world.
That sounds delicious.
Oh my gosh. It was freaking fantastic.
I feel like if you want to make that a little bit more festive since Halloween is coming up, you can hollow out a pumpkin and make some wild rice with that and shove that all in. Like a saute, you put a roasted pumpkin right in there.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be good. I feel like it would. Did you know that that's why it's called Halloween? Because you hollow out a pumpkin?
I still need to go pumpkin carving.
Okay. Well, I just made a joke that was totally made up and fake. And that was like Jessica's giving me the stink eye from the studio.
Yeah, that was the lowest one you had. See, Halloween. Danielle, you brought this upon us.
I did. I feel ashamed.
What do you got next for the Gold Star shoot, Matt? I want to hear what's next, how to get involved, and what you got coming up in the hunting world.
Yeah, as far as the Gold Star shoot, we'll start planning right around January is when we start planning everything out. I fire out as many emails as possible looking for sponsors, and that can be anything from a family that just wants to donate a good to businesses.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to help or participate?
So we have the Instagram. I also have an email.
What is the Instagram?
The Instagram is WI Gold Star Shoot.
WI Gold Star Shoot.
Yep. And then my email is WIGoldStarShoot@gmail.com.
Oh, well, how perfect.
WIGoldStarShoot@gmail.com. Danielle, you are the technology master. Make sure we get those on the Raised in Wisco Facebook page.
Oh, yes.
Folks.
You can listen to us again on Spotify, Civic Media app, YouTube, Apple Music. And on Saturday, we will air at 11 o'clock. And then I will also post on Facebook everything that's going on here.
Remember to vote. It's coming up soon. And we love you coming along Saturdays at 11 on all your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. I got to thank Jeremy Walker. I got to thank Matt Johnson. And, hey, Luke's with us, too, in the studio.
Luke.
Thanks for coming by today. On behalf of Danielle Fairman, I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco. Remember to remember the veterans when they come back, not only thank them for their service, but make sure if there is something you can do to make their assimilation back into society and part of our culture better, that you get out there and do it. We love having you along. We love being your buddies here on Raised in Wisco.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not.
Cash Bell makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bell Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.